there was a specific question about halacha that was asked, and I want to address a broader question about halacha, which is really we could call it an intro to halacha, an intro to Machon Meir, and then we'll talk about your question, okay? When I first came to Machon Meir, one of the things I asked Rav Bigon, and I asked him again a year later and again a year later, was why don't we have a syllabus? And why don't we have tests? Wouldn't it help people to know? You should cover the laws of Shabbos, the laws of the morning, and set up a syllabus like you have in college. Take a Judaism 101, Philosophy 101, Halacha 101. And Rav Bigun kept answering me the same answer, and it took me a few years till it sank in. I didn't get it initially. I kept asking the same question because I didn't get the answer. And he kept telling me that Machon Meir is a place for people to grow in a holistic way. The tshuva process is not about a test. One person is working on A and B and C, and the next guy is working on D and E and F, and it's not fair to give this one 100 because you could gauge his advancements by a test, and the next guy walks around and what did he get? Doesn't work that way. Everyone's growth is individual, and the Machon is working with each individual with their challenges to grow. So it took me time to understand this. We once had a guy who walked into the office, and he sits down and slams his hand on the table and says, "Rabbi, it's the first week that in my life that I can remember that I didn't beat anyone up." And he's standing there and he's shaking, and I'm thinking, "Oh no!" Okay, now that was a big, advancement for him. He then told me a story. He grew up in a public school where people were picking fights with him because he was Jewish. Now he had a mohawk and he had earrings and he had everything, chains and tattoos. But on top of it all, he always wore a yarmulke because he didn't know anything else about being Jewish. He just knew that Jews wear a yarmulke. So he did everything under the sun. He was part of a bicycle, but he always had his yarmulke and he'd fight for it. So every week, and he told me, he says, when he hears a car, the engine fires, he hits the ground. Because he's used to gunfire. It's like instinct. So that's where he grew up. Fine. So for him, his growth is based on how many laws of Shabbos he knows. He's not holding there yet. He's a work in progress. And he's made tremendous advancements. He says, "I finally come to a place. I don't have to fight every week." So he was very excited that he went a whole week without getting into a fight. Okay? So this is true, and it poses a certain difficulty, because what happens at the Machon is that everyone tries to grow, and people will usually try to grow too fast and take on too much too quickly. And usually, if you come to me, I'm the guy who always says, "Wait, hold off on that, if you're keeping kosher, and this is the first week in your life you're keeping kosher, I'm not sure you have to wait 6 hours between meat and milk. Maybe it's enough that you don't eat them at the same meal, and in a few months, when you're used to eating kosher, we can talk about waiting an hour between meat and milk." So you'll ask me, "What's the halacha?" I'll tell you, as you grow, you'll get to a point where you'll wait 6 hours between meat and milk. But when you're starting out, it's not right to start out waiting 6 hours between meat and milk. It won't work. Meaning, we're all a work in progress. Me too. We're all a work in progress. Hopefully, if we're working to grow, then we're a work in progress. So that's why in halachic questions, some questions are a yes or a no. Can I shave with a razor? No. Okay, that was easy. There are some questions that are yes or no. There are other questions where there's room to be lenient and room to be stringent. And even where there's a strict yes or no question, a person has to give himself time to grow. I'll tell you a story one of the rabbis told here about himself. Maybe you'll still hear it from him. One of the rabbis that teaches here told how he was in college and he came to Israel for a summer. He went to Tzfat, and all his years in college he was an active participant in the Chabad house. And then when he came back from his summer here in Tzfat, so he had tzitzis hanging out, he was already growing his bayis and his beard, and he's back to college. He knocks on the door of the Chabad house, and the rabbi's not there, but the Rebbetzin's there, and He tells her, I have great news to tell you. I was in Tzfat for the summer, and that's it. Now I'm Orthodox. I'm keeping Shabbos. I'm keeping all 613 mitzvot. It's amazing. And the Rebbetzin looks at him and says, I'm very happy for you. That's very, very good. Please don't come back to Chabad. He says, what did I do wrong? I thought you'd be so proud of me. What do you mean? So she says, come, let's go for a walk. And she starts walking with him around the campus. And she says, look, I know you're tempted to take on all 613. But we see that all the time. People that get all excited that take on all 613. It lasts for a month or two and then it's gone. It doesn't last. You want to stick to all 613, that's fine. But we here are trying to build things that last. So I don't want people who come in and one day they're keeping all 613 and 2 weeks later they're not keeping Shabbos. That's not how we work. So he was devastated. He said, so what are you telling me to do? She said, I'm telling you to choose one mitzvah, but keep that mitzvah till the end of the year. Promise me you won't stop that mitzvah. Take one mitzvah. And he said it here. We were sitting together. Every so often we have a class together. Like a panel. We might do that later this year too. So he said by the end of the year it was so hard to keep that one mitzvah. He didn't tell us what it was. I don't know what it was. What we want is gradual growth. And growth means there'll be ups, there'll be downs, but let's try to do it slowly so that the downs aren't too rough on us. There'll always be downs. There are ups, there are downs. But we want a steady, a normal graph. And that's why when it comes to halachic questions, there's the basic question, but then there's the question of what's right for you. Meaning a person who's just starting to keep Shabbos now, so maybe they don't have to know all the details of Shabbos right now. Maybe for them it's enough that they're not turning on lights, and the big one, they're not answering their cell phone, they're not online on Shabbos. That's really hard. Now you're going to start talking to that guy about all his details. That's murder. That's not realistic. You got to start from scratch, slowly. And we evolve. So that's why I'm hesitant to answer your question, but I will. But I'm saying that the answer is with this disclosure, with this warning. For those who are new at Shabbat, so don't worry about it. Do what works for you. And slowly, you'll grow. Okay? That's the first point. I want to add a few more points. You want to know what's the most challenging part of growth at Machon Meir? I'm going to tell you. So that you can fix it, okay? The most challenging part about growth at Machon Meir is the fellow students who look over your shoulder and say, you know, you should really be doing this that way. You know, we, the rabbis, we're quiet. We will almost never tell someone, you know, you should do this differently. A person grows slowly. They learn. They grow in accordance with their comfort level, and the person has to grow slowly and keep growing. But fellow students will sometimes make comments. So I'm saying this for you guys not to be that fellow student. Don't make comments to the next guy. Even if he's making mistakes, let him make his mistakes slowly. We all need our space to grow. And it's very important that we give one another that space. It's very, very damaging when people make comments to one another. And we all want to grow. But we all have to be given that space to grow at our pace. Okay. So now,